Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the ultimate decision. Either we live in the truth of being, or we live in the false sense of life. In this show, we will explain the consequence of accepting the material mental universe as real. Listen as we explore the benefits of living under the influence of truth without ramifications. From John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live in the absence of false conditions. So, Swami, I see the title of today's show is Real Life, Truth, or Consequence. Can you just give us a brief recap as to what we think that title might be about?
Yeah, I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said in Miscellaneous Writings. All men shall be satisfied when they awake in his likeness, and they never should be until then. Here we're learning, if we don't accept spiritual identity, there will be ramifications. The wrath of God is the love of God, not letting anyone accept anything less than the perfection of being. It was quite a shock for me to find out what I was calling life wasn't life at all. And so, with this title, Real Life Truth or Consequence, the belief in the false, mortal sense of existence as being something very different. I really like what C.S. Lewis had said, something to the effect, what natural man doesn't have is spiritual life. Or in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." End of quote. There's a big difference between what we're calling life and what the Bible is trying to get us to understand as life. And so that's what we're learning. All of the human conditions and problems are really a sign we're in the wrong sense of existence.
Earlier you had said what you thought was life wasn't life at all. Could you just expand upon that for our listeners? I think it's important we know through your years of experience in your yoga that maybe we could learn from that.
Yeah, the natural man, this material sense, this mental, physical concept of life isn't real. The only thing that is real is the invisible, intangible spirit. And everything that is reporting in our material senses is not real. It's not created by the divine principle, and it's not under the divine law. And so we're living in this false sense, and basically we're hypnotized. We're sleeping in our five material senses, and we think we have problems. We think we're dying. We think we can die. And to find out that, just like what the scripture had said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," what they're talking about here is the Christ. The Christ is the saving aspect of truth. It is what makes the divine creation, eternal life, comprehensive to the human consciousness. And that was the message of the New Testament. And for me personally, when I first opened the Kriya Yoga Ashram in Hampton, I really thought I had the secret to life. I was marketing myself as one of the healthiest, happiest people I knew on the planet. And come to find, in 2015, all of a sudden I came down with something that everything that I thought I knew wasn't working. And turning to all the alternative methods, and then finally even succumbing to the medical model, I really wasn't able to find any relief. And fortunately for me, somehow online I stumbled across Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, and I started reading her book. What I found was everything that she was saying was dovetailing with everything that I was teaching. In fact, at most points, I thought I could have written this book, except for one minute detail. She was proving the presence of this divine creative principle, and I was talking about it. And that's what you start to see, is that this mental material universe isn't the real universe. You're in a concept. You're thinking about life. And what we learned was we had to stop thinking and start knowing this truth. We had to stop thinking with our material senses so we could activate our soul senses, what we call in yoga your chakras. You find that place where your thought is the same as the divine idea. And without trying, striving, struggling, without human will, just resting in the confidence there's only one perfect divine life right here, right now, and it's running a perfect universe. We just have to stop interfering with it, with our thinking, trying, striving, and struggling.
Now, Swami, do you think that condition that you had, was that a consequence of maybe not understanding or knowing this truth that we've been talking about?
Well, I think it's exactly it, because until we have risen above sense-level living, we still have a belief in two powers, which means that we are now under the law of karma. We're in the cycle of death and rebirth. And that's what religion and yoga really were metaphysical or mystical systems to liberate us from this cycle of death and rebirth, this false sense of existence. But without leadership today, like we're saying, I mean, most of us, we think we're spiritual. There are so many people today that I hear talking about being awakened, and yet they're not proving the presence of this perfect divine life. As Mary Baker Eddy said, awaken in his likeness. There is something very specific about his likeness. It's spirit. It's infinite. And for us to know this infinite spiritual body, this spiritual identity, is what's going to make us free. But it's going to make us free from the ramifications, the consequences, the law of karma. What we're putting out is what we're getting back.
So I think it'd be safe to assume that if we ourselves have some kind of a condition with our physical bodies, or maybe some lack, financial or otherwise, then maybe we need to rethink about what we believe truth to be.
Yeah, humanity is sleeping in their sense perception of a material universe, a mental material universe that God did not make. Then we have all those who think that they are awake and spiritual but have no divine privileges or protection. And it's become very clear to me in Christian Science, healing is not the goal. But if you are not healing the sick, reforming the sinner, raising the dead, what Jesus called preaching the gospel, you aren't even at the base camp of this journey. And so these conditions that we are experiencing, problems, sickness, lack, limitation, these are all a wake-up call saying what you're calling life isn't life at all. The term in the Bible was called repent, which has been translated as think differently, we have to stop thinking with our material senses and start knowing with our spiritual senses, knowing the truth. Life is perfect. God is a living God and running a perfect universe. We're over here in this human recreation of it, begging and pleading and trying to get God to do something for us. But God can't give us anything because God isn't withholding anything. It is up to us to think differently, to ask in my name, which means that we have to put off the belief that we are a finite mortal being with a physical body and put on our spiritual identity, impersonal, universal, one perfect life, which is the only life there is, and it's the only life that I am.
So if I understand you correctly, this spiritual identity is really what we should be thinking of as our real life.
Exactly. And I think what we read in the opening, John 10:10, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. What we think God is, Jesus said in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And Herb Fitch in Living in the Fourth Dimension, Class 1A, he says, and I'll read it, "Your God is a murderer and a liar. Your God is a cause of what you call death. Your God is the cause of what you call suffering. Your God is the cause of what you call disease. Your God is the cause of what you call a poor marriage. Your inability to know God is the cause of every problem that you have." And they looked at him like he was a madman. End of quote. And I have to admit that it has taken me some time to really let this sink in so that I'm starting to understand exactly what they're talking about. And again, what we're calling life isn't life at all.
Just like in that Herb Fitch quote, when he was talking about God, we're not talking about God with the capital G, we're talking about God with a small g, what we term as gods. And then life, we need to look at that as with a capital L, meaning our connection with spirit.
Yeah, and that's what you start to learn. There's a big difference between the human concept of God, human thought about God, and the living God, the presence of the omnipotence, the omniscience, the omnipresence of this perfect divine creative principle. It's not material. It's not personal. It's spiritual and it's universal. There's only one. There's not many. And the more we understand what is meant by these terms and we start to rise above corporeal sense living and we start to live in the presence of this one perfect divine life, and you start to experience it, then you're developing faith. And then eventually, as you graduate into understanding, now you could start to prove this as a demonstrable principle. Spirit testifies with deeds, not words.
So you're saying that when we rise above and then we start performing deeds and whatever, is this when these consequences will fall away? Like any conditions in the human body, lack, limitation, those should fall away once we rise above our corporeal senses.
Right, because the formula is how we think is what we become. Consciousness is experience. If we are conscious of the divine creation, then it must outpicture as divine quality. And if it doesn't, then you cannot be conscious of the divine creation. That's why healing becomes such an important component in troubleshooting what it is that you're calling God.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Wake up one morning, it's like, you know what? I'm tired.
Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, we were just talking about spiritual identity and overcoming conditions we see in our physical world. I believe we have something from Herb Fitch that might shed some light on this topic today. Would you read that for us?
Yeah, what we're talking about here is the miracle of accepting and living in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body, which is what will take care of what seems to be a personal physical body. And Herb Fitch in Living in the Fourth Dimension, Class 2A, he's got some things here, and I'll start reading them. The first one is, so as you rest in spiritual identity, the awareness of spirit as the only life on this earth gradually descends into your consciousness. Wheresoever you may look, spirit is, to the left and to the right, above and below. You are in a spiritual universe. The infinity of spirit precludes the presence of any other substance or life. You do not go out and conquer the spiritual universe. You touch your own identity as spirit and rest in the effortless action of spirit to maintain itself. There is no work in spirit. There is no effort in spirit. There is no thought in spirit. There is no overcoming. There is a resting with confidence. Can you rest with confidence before you know that you are spirit? End of quote. That's a key question he asks at the end there. It kind of reminds me of what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Do we have the confidence God is all and we rest in that? Or do we know the truth and then we have the confidence? And so God says, trust and I will show. And man says, show and I will trust. First you believe spirit is all. You believe the Bible. And in the Bible, it says somewhere, if you believe on me, what that means is that if you believe there is but one life, one perfect divine life, then you start to trust it. Once you have fidelity to that and you begin to rely on it and it starts to reveal itself to you, you start to get results. You're experiencing this one perfect divine life until eventually you understand it. It is a demonstrable principle. It's a law.
Swami, when he says rest in spiritual identity, what does he mean by the word rest?
Well, for me, he's saying trust. Let. Don't do anything. Take no thought for your own self. With spirit, there's no effort. There's no work. To live by grace, spirit goes before. It does the work. Jesus said, it is the Father within that does the work. We're learning a whole different mode of operation. But in order to do that, we really have to graduate from reacting to the testimony of our corporeal senses and have activated our spiritual senses, which means we're out of time, we're out of space, we're out of concept, we're out of belief, we're not thinking beyond human will and beyond personal sense. And so you're now thinking with divine mind, which is seeing the whole picture. The truth of being, only one power. Life is perfect. Nothing needs to be added to it or taken away from it. And so we rest.
So I just want to get clarification on that. Before we undertake any kind of task, I don't think you're saying just invite the Christ, put God first. There should be not a mental picture of this, but it needs to be something a little bit deeper.
Well, yeah, the Bible says, know the truth. If we're thinking about the truth, we're not knowing the truth. We're still using a mind that can't bring forth the divine image. The instruction was to repent, to think differently. And we stop thinking. We stop forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through our material senses. But by the same token, we affirm the truth. We know the truth. We rest in the truth. Life is perfect. It's not just senseless optimism. It's not denial of what is appearing in your corporeal senses. It is becoming conscious of the perfection of being. You now live and move and have your being in the divine creation, which doesn't require any maintenance. It doesn't fall under the law of karma anymore. It doesn't have a belief in two powers. It's not good that can eventually become bad. It is absolute goodness, eternal life. It's the changeless state of being. From there, we rest and we let.
I like what he said. You do not go out and conquer the spiritual universe. So after you had read that, I was thinking, we have to learn to let the spiritual universe conquer us, I think.
Yeah, and what that looks like when spirit conquers you is it dissolves the false sense of you. Spirit is the dissolving force of the universe, translating everything back to the one perfect divine life. And so we come out of the belief in the many, and we rise into the understanding of the one. Now you are experiencing what Jesus would say, I and the Father are one. And when you accept that to be your life, and you stop interfering with it by trying to be a second self, your awareness of spirit does that for you. It will dissolve that false sense of who you thought you were. And then you become that place where this one perfect divine life lives itself through you as you.
I see that we have a continuation from Herb Fitch talking about the spiritual identity. Would you like to continue reading that for us?
Yeah, this is the continuation, fourth dimension, 2A. And so, not having this realization that I am spirit, we live in the divided consciousness, which must always turn to meet a new intruder, always face another problem, always seek to find a place where it can be at peace, but never finding it because out of true identity, we are always moving toward the light, living in the shadows. Find your identity. Jesus was not Jesus, but the Son of the living God. Jesus was born of the Father, Spirit, and there is a place in our Bible where he says, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. In that line is one of the greatest of all. Call no man your father, for spirit is your father. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And we, born of the spirit, born of the father, are spirit. The end of the quote. What we've been talking about is the physics of spirituality. Like attracts like. Ask in my name. We must know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator.
And I see he has some instruction in that paragraph you just read when he says, find your identity. Jesus was not Jesus, but the Son of the living God. What we've been trying to do with these radio shows is figure out and explain about how to reach this identity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Talk doesn't cook the rice. Or somewhere in James, he says, faith without works is dead. Spirit testifies with deeds. You can't be in spiritual consciousness and not be what Jesus called preaching the gospel, which is demonstrating the presence of this one perfect divine life. When you read about Mary Baker Eddy, she couldn't help herself if she saw somebody that was suffering or in pain. She had to reveal this truth to them. And I think that is the message of the Christ. Heal the sick, reform the sinner, raise the dead. It's not on a personal level. It is the Christ that does the work. Bicknell Young says, a Christian Science healing is the operation of divine mind. Divine mind is absolute life, absolute harmony. And so it abhors the error. It is constantly, as John says in Revelations, making all things new.
If we can get back to that word resting, I believe that we do have some instruction from Herb Fitch, what he feels about resting.
Yeah, in that same work, Fourth Dimension 2A, I'll read it. Rest in yourself for a moment. See what it feels like to be not flesh and blood, not mortal, not human, but that which he revealed we are, spiritual being. Not spirit and, just spiritual being, the Son of the living God. I am that spirit. When this falls into place in your consciousness, you will feel a turning toward a new invisible universe, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And you will realize the Christ mission on earth is to lift you out of the belief in a limited, finite, temporary existence of good and evil, into the acceptance of the presence of a perfect, unlimited life in and as spirit, under the law of God, the law of spirit. And that all this is a transformation in which your consciousness now drops its belief in the finite physical self, follows the way shower, believes on me, asks in my name, spirit, and then opens you up to the acceptance that because you are spirit, because spirit is your father, I and the father are never separate. Never apart. There is no place in the universe where spirit is that is not connected to my spirit. That's the end of the quote. Yeah, as we rise into this understanding of ourselves as the one perfect divine life, we're not thinking in our rational, material mind. We are now thinking in terms of divine mind, the absolute. For mortal mind, there's time. There's now and then, there's space, there's here and there. But for divine mind, there's no time. Everything is now. For divine mind, there's no space. Everything is here. And so as we start to develop what Mary Baker Eddy called a proper sense of the infinite, we start to see things in terms of the absolute. We start to rise above the limitations of mortal thinking, and we graduate into this divine knowing.
Well, it is that time to start breaking down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, if you click that, that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then by clicking on the Products tab, then Online Classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So Swami, with that, do you have any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live in the absence of false conditions. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.